natural disaster occurring in at least three of our provinces, mainly in KZN, Eastern Cape, and the Northwest. At this juncture, we are with the families that have lost their loved ones, as well as the families that they have lost their houses. Today, they find themselves roofless, foodless, and helpless. And we are with them, and we have seen the leadership of our country led from the front by our president, President Cyril Matamela Ramaphosa, giving support and to our people and ensuring that we make quick interventions to assist all the affected families. We are with them. I take this opportunity to welcome you, because I know that most of you are on the ground trying to assist here and there, but it was important that side by side in attending to those emergency and urgent matters that we also meet and continue our work from this end, because it takes us putting all the hands on the deck in all fronts to ensure that we keep the country working, we keep our government doing what it is expected to do. With those few remarks, I welcome you and I declare this meeting duly opened. Welcome, members. A special welcome to you, Minister of Health, Dr. Phahla, and thank you so much, my leader. We know that there's a lot in your plate. There's a lot expected from your office and your department. But thank you for taking this time to come and join us here. And you will realize that this meeting should have happened at least early last month. But due to the fact that we had wanted to host both yourself and the Minister of Social Development, Mayor Lindiwe Zulu, we could not find a common date that would suit both offices at the same time at that point. We then decided to say
recording
that
if your
good office is now ready to present to us, we will give you the opportunity without any further delay. Thank you so much then for making time and ensuring that you create a date out of your busy schedule to come and appear before this select committee. We welcome you together with your staff. Members, the meeting, as I have indicated, is now duly opened. I just want to check from a point of view I've not received any apology, but the members of the staff in the unit, if they can indicate if we have any apology coming from the members.
Thanks, Chair. Good morning. Afternoon.
Yes.
Yes, Chair, I haven't received any apologies yet.
Okay, wonderful. Yes, thank you so much. Then it means then that there is no recorded apology. And without further ado, as I have indicated, we have a single item on the agenda. And that item is linked to an undertaking which was made by the Honorable Deputy President Didi Mabuza on the 11th of March, 2021. You will recall, members, that the Deputy President of the Republic made the following undertaking in particular. I'll just take one point, which is an all-encompassing point, because we have shared that undertaking with all the members of the committee as well as with the ministry. With respect to the vaccination rollout plan, we can confirm that there is a comprehensive geo-mapping of all facilities and vaccination sites that will ensure equitable access to vaccines by everyone, irrespective of where they live. Indeed, government will ensure that the vaccination program is geared towards reaching rural communities through platforms with high reach in audience share in those areas. Our plan includes communicating vaccination messages in all official languages on national, community, regional, and commercial radio stations featuring dramas and generic adverts. The awareness campaign will make use of the outdoor platforms across the length and the breadth of the country, including rural communities, which, amongst others, is the use of the outdoor billboards, taxis, electronic screens in public places, as well as boards in shopping malls and branding of buses, to communicate the message of vaccination. In a nutshell, that is the undertaking made by the Deputy President, and that undertaking, it goes without saying that it is linked to the work of the line function minister, and it is for that reason that the minister is here to take us into confidence as to what has happened and what is going to happen and what is already happening in respect of that undertaking made by the Deputy President. Minister, I now take pleasure to introduce you to the members of this committee and allow you to make your representation and declare that particular undertaking to us as well as the nation at large, because we are live on the National Television of Parliament channel in particular, and therefore the time is now yours to take us through. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. And greetings, Great Committee on Petitions. You indulged it with at 2 a bit earlier, so we really don't take it for granted your actually consideration for our request for postponement to this meeting so that it can take place today. I am with a number of members of the management from the department. But I also have the Deputy Minister, Dr. Dlomo, who's also with us. We've been together until yesterday in Etekwini, where we also visited a number of sites. A number of health facilities are also affected. Huge inconvenience in terms of access, seriously damaged many of our very busy hospitals, such as the Prince Mshiyeni Hospital in Umlazi, Wentworth Hospital in the Wentworth area, which these are big hospitals which service a lot of population. Also specialized services, Wentworth Hospital provides a number of specialized services. They are struggling with the water provision because of the damage to the infrastructure, but otherwise most of them they have not suffered huge damage to their own infrastructure and equipment. But you can imagine a hospital with limited water supply is itself a health hazard. So we're busy, you know, over the last 2 days giving support to our colleagues in the KwaZulu-Natal Health Department and the government of KwaZulu-Natal. And of course, as you've mentioned, as the President declared this a national disaster. So we're working together to try and actually, you know, make sure that we can bring services to the people. On the matter of today, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, together with the Deputy Minister, as I've said, I have a number of management team members from the health department, but specifically for the purpose of today, we have studied the Deputy President undertaking of March last year. And on the basis of those undertakings, we went through what then has happened and what still remains to be done. So with your permission, Honorable Chair, so that we are very systematic, I am with the Deputy Director General of our department, who substantively is responsible for the National Health Insurance, the implementation of the National Health Insurance. But in the process of COVID, we also diverted him to be the person in charge of the vaccination program. So we do have a short presentation which we'll make, and which after which then we'll be able to take questions and comments. So with your permission, Honorable Chair, I hope that Dr. Nicholas Crisp, who is on the platform, has the permission to put up a presentation. Thank you very much. Dr. Crisp, I hope you've been given the rights to share your screen. If that is so, you can proceed with the permission of the Honorable Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you, Minister. I think he can go ahead. It's allowed. Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon to you, Minister, Deputy Minister, and all the Honorable Members of the Committee. The latest version is with Mr. Hartler, so if you don't mind letting Mr. Hartler share, that he can put it up. Otherwise, I will find another version. Mr. Hartler, are you able to share from your side for me, and then I'll go through the slides. Thank you.
Is Mr. Hartler winning? We don't see any presentation. Is there a problem, Mr. Hartler?
Minister, otherwise I'll share the other previous version. It's just the title page which changed. So the members, honourable members, will just excuse me that you have to change the title page.
Is Mr. Hartler having a problem? He's not talking.
Minister, I've got a version. It's fine. It's just the title page that has changed. So we will provide the final one. Okay, is the screen visible?
It is visible, yes.
Thank you very much. Okay, so thanks very much and apologies for that delay. So I won't repeat the questions raised because the Honourable Chair of the Committee has already read the questions. I'll just give them at the beginning of each of the slides. But as the Honourable Minister said, what we've done is we've gone back to each of those statements made by the Honourable Deputy President, and we've looked at what has happened, and that's what we are reporting to you. So in respect of the coverage of sites, the Honourable Deputy President said, with respect to the vaccination rollout plan, we can confirm that there's a comprehensive geo-mapping of all facilities and vaccination sites that will ensure equitable access to vaccines by everyone, irrespective of where they live. And he also said all registered vaccine centres will be published on platforms for all citizens to have access to this information. And we are working on increasing the number of testing labs to expedite quality assurance of all vaccines that are produced. So in terms of access to sites and where the sites are, the department has maintained a web-based application called sacoronavirus.co.za. And as the vaccination sites are brought on or taken off stream by the various service providers, those vaccination sites are recorded and are accessible on this site. So all public and private sites are located on the department's master facility list. It is geocoded and it is identifiable, and we use it in the mapping programs to check the distribution against where the population is. Every element of the system was audited by the Auditor General of South Africa. They've been a daily partner through this journey of creating these capabilities. And the active sites are available on the website. But because not everybody has access to the website, each province and sometimes at district and even local government level, they announce which vaccination sites are open. So not all vaccination sites are open at the same times of day, and not all of them are open 7 days a week. Some are 5 days a week and others have been over weekends. But those announcements are made locally. And the private sector, where a lot of these vaccination sites are, also announce and put up signs to show when the vaccination sites are open. So there, it is auditable, it is available, and there is a central place where we are able to use it for planning. Regarding our communication and being able to reach communities, this is indeed a challenge. The president said, indeed, government will, deputy president said, indeed, government will ensure that the vaccination program is geared towards reaching rural communities through platforms with high reach in audiences to share in those areas. Our plan includes communicating vaccination messages in all official languages on national, community, regional, and commercial radio stations featuring dramas and generic adverts. And the awareness campaign will make use of outdoor platforms across the length and breadth of the country, including rural communities, which amongst others is the use of the outdoor billboards, taxis, electronic screens in public places, as well as boards in shopping malls and branding of buses to communicate messages of vaccination. So what happened, there were a couple of slides on this, is that specifically in reaching rural communities and specific reference to official languages. On the left-hand side of the slide, we've had two major approaches. One is using media platforms, and the other is the activation of local leadership and social mobilization networks in each district, and within the districts, sometimes it's tailor-made to a sub-district. So regarding the media platforms, we have used radio in all 11 official languages. We've had excellent cooperation from the radio stations. The SABC in particular has done over 7,500 public service announcements. So those are announcements for which we do not pay. The SABC pays for those short clips. We've also engaged with 45 community radio stations where there's been weekly multilingual talk shows, and there's been what they call side-by-side radio dramas in all 11 languages to promote vaccination. We have a record because they send us the lists of what has been aired and what has been produced. As far as the print media is concerned, this is mostly on paper, but some of it is on billboards and on larger print material. There's been the same messages that were in the radio adverts have been in what they call print collateral in 14 languages, including large print and braille for people who are not able to see well or are blind. So far, 15 million brochures were distributed. And post-vaccination leaflets have also been distributed across the country. I'll elaborate on the 14 languages in a moment. As far as the local leadership is concerned, this has proved to be one of the major strengths of the vaccination communication campaign. There's been linkages with local leadership. It differs from one part of the country to the other, but especially at Vuma vaccination weekends, the provincial houses of traditional and Khoisan leaders have been major players and extremely influential in their communities. There have also been joint district communication strategies between the Department of Health and GCIS, and I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the Government Communication Information Service because the levels of cooperation and support have been fantastic. Local collaboration with community constituents. Front and religious leaders has been spearheaded by our political principals on several occasions, and we continue to have a good relationship with most of the religious leaders that we are in contact with. There has also been secondment by NGOs of communication expertise, and we have been able to get communication people into all the district health teams, because we are health professionals and don't necessarily communicate particularly well. So it's been very helpful to have these people working with us. There have been 100 community-based organizations across the districts of the country funded and support community mobilization and to promote site accessibility. So this is some of the material. And if I just briefly cover the outdoor billboards, taxis, and electronic screening, 4.5 million rand was spent by GCIS on the outdoor media campaign. The Solidarity Fund, which is private money, has been a massive support, and they have run the Roll Up Your Sleeves campaign, which has had TV, radio, and outdoor communication on 231 digital billboards there were campaigns at 16 of the country's biggest taxi ranks, and there have been 1,019 screens installed in taxis. You get a sense of the of what has been shown on them from the pictures that are illustrated here. The posters that I referred to earlier in 14 languages are the 11 official languages. And then in select communities, we have also published in Shona, French, and Swahili. And we've so far distributed 260,000 posters. And the NGOs have been major players in this distribution, including to 20,000 spaza shops. There's been an information campaign that we have aimed at people with disabilities, in particular the Braille, which I referred to earlier, where we've had 12,000 pamphlets distributed. But there's also a series of videos for people with hearing disabilities. Reaching rural communities, we thought was going to be the most difficult, but with the various partners we've alluded to and working with social society partners, the two main strategies have actually done remarkably well in reaching rural communities. As I've mentioned, there's been the radio and the dissemination of print languages in the 11 South African official languages, but the mobilization of local communities and the local leadership, and by that I include the religious leadership, has been made it possible for us to get to communities across the whole country. I must also thank the donors. There are a large number of both South African and international donors who have been part of our teams. And in the 41 more rural districts, not the metros, there's been a concerted campaign to ensure that we left nobody behind. I won't repeat what I said about the 11 languages. We, at one point in what we call our social listening program, realized that we were missing large parts of communities who were vulnerable and not being vaccinated, who speak not our 11 languages, but foreign languages and are concentrated in those communities. So we targeted those communities as well. The outdoor billboards, taxis, and electronic billboards I've already spoken about. You, hopefully, the members of the committee have seen them. And then with the posters, the DG Murray Trust has been a major partner in our demand generation campaign. And they have helped also with a partnership with Flash and Kazang, which service the spaza shops, to make sure that we reach communities who use spaza shops for their shopping. And in that way, we don't just concentrate in the malls and the large shops. The Department of Health produced some posters, but there were a lot of other posters that were produced. And they call it a flash poster as well, where the country flags of other communities were also shown to try and attract those people to vaccination. People with disabilities, there have been some sign language videos as well, as I've referred to. So there was also a statement made that all suppliers will be requested to produce lab certificates to buyers, providing a unique identifier on delivery of vaccines and online verification of that certificate. Now, this is perhaps a little bit difficult to follow what this means, so I'll try and explain. What happens is when we get any medicine that comes into the country, we have to make sure that it's not fake medicine, and there are various tests that the National Department of Health does with our partners to verify that those medicines are indeed legitimate. In the case of vaccines and what we call biologicals, we have a laboratory that is located in Bloemfontein called the South African National Control Laboratory for Biological Products. That laboratory performs all tests on all vaccines that come into the country or that are made in the country, and that lab functions under the provisions of the law, the Medicines and Related Substances Act. And what happens is we send samples from the central store when the biologicals, the vaccines, arrive in the country. We send samples from every batch as they are labeled by the manufacturer. And within the batch, they are grouped into what are called lots. So the lots and batch samples go to the lab. The lab tests them to check, one, that they are what they say they are, but two, that they've not been damaged in the process of being transported into the country. And only once they give us a certificate of release, then are those vaccines distributed for use. We do not release those certificates into the public domain to avoid any form of fraud or corruption of the certificate process. That is not an electronic or an online process in South Africa, quite deliberately at the moment, but there is a pilot going on in Ghana and Kenya with other partners, and we obviously work within the Africa context and in a global space, so we are aware of what they're doing, but at this stage, we are able to control the certificate and the verification of our vaccines in the country very effectively. So we haven't changed to an online process. Just to add to that, there's a unique identifier that is then put into every what we call tray. So within a batch and a lot, you get a tray where the vaccine vials are distributed to us. They get a tracer in them that we can track and trace every one of those vials and every one of the trays, so that if they are stolen or ambushed or in any way there's fraud committed around the vaccines, we are able to reduce or eliminate even counterfeit vaccines circulating in the market. We do use barcoding to track our medicines in this country and all our vaccine doses and vials. Everything is barcoded. We do use the international standard. In fact, we're using the European standard. I won't go into all the technical details that are shown on this slide, but basically, because we are trading mostly with the Europeans and the European standard, this works very well for us, and we are able to follow every single delivery right down to the vial, and even when we finally destroy the glass that the vial is in, we are able to track what happened with the vaccines all the way to that point. Then the Deputy President said, ultimately, we will move towards local manufacturing of vaccines, which will offer opportunities for open contracting opportunities for limited localization. We have made substantial progress. This is a long process. It will take many years to get to full production. But there are four manufacturing hubs in South Africa. They've all been in the media, but I'll briefly speak about them. There's Afrigen. It's a multi-partner. I'll show a bit more about this later. And what it is what we call a tech transfer hub. So they are manufacturing what's called mRNA vaccines. You'll be familiar with the Pfizer vaccine, which we use, and the Moderna vaccine, which we don't have in South Africa, is also an mRNA vaccine. And what they're doing here is taking the technology and using the technology to manufacture the primary substance here in the country. There's a long process. I'll speak briefly about that just now. The second, that's happening at Afrigen in Cape Town. BioVac has got a manufacturing plant and a fill and finish plant in Cape Town that also is one of our major partners in the north of the country in Johannesburg. And what they are doing is they are doing the fill and finish for Pfizer. So they don't manufacture the vaccine per se. It comes in bulk and it's bottled and labeled here. But they are also, they have a lab and they are doing the manufacture of what we call API, the active pharmaceutical ingredient, for an mRNA, for the Pfizer vaccine. And in time, that mRNA technology will be used not just for COVID vaccine, but for other vaccines. BioVac is a partnership between private sector and government. Government owns a substantial share of BioVac. The third one is Nant SA. This is a private philanthropist, South African born, living in the United States, who is investing in three countries in Africa and has bought premises and is busy establishing what is called Immunity Bio. And they are going to manufacture a different kind of vaccine. It will not be only for COVID, it will be other vaccines as well. But that is a new process, and the warehouses are also in Cape Town. Then there's Aspen. It's in Gqeberha, and this is a known South African company. They won the contract initially to fill and finish Johnson & Johnson, which is not an mRNA vaccine. It's a different kind of vaccine. And they have been doing the fill and finish for us in South Africa, but also now they're one of the biggest fill and finish plants for Johnson & Johnson across the globe. And they have recently got a contract to do more than fill and finish, and actually they'll be manufacturing vaccines in South Africa in due course. So the aim is that we will have this diverse portfolio of vaccines, both the messenger RNA, which is one mechanism of making vaccines, and adenovirus, which is another mechanism. And we expect that we'll be able to manufacture these vaccines in South Africa in the years to come across different vaccine platforms. So the diversity of this portfolio is important because it will help us to be self-sufficient, but also globally competitive with pricing. I must also say that the Department of Science and Innovation is the primary government department involved in this space. We work with them, but they are the ones, and they have made a detailed presentation to the Interministerial Committee on this. Then the Deputy President said we are proactively working on adopting open contracting principles as part of ensuring transparency in the procurement of vaccines. So what we have at the moment is a number of vaccines. The way in which it works is that in order to sell any medicine, including a vaccine in South Africa, there must be a registration with our regulator, which is SAHPRA, the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. It's quite a strict authority, and they work together with regulators across the world, what are called stringent authorities, and they swap and exchange data. But we do not register anything in South Africa unless we have double-checked that it's appropriate for use here. So far, there are several vaccines that are registered in COVID vaccines that are registered for use in South Africa. And the manufacturers with market authorization will in due course be able to participate in open bidding processes. The only reason we haven't done this so far is because we already have huge volumes of vaccines that we procured right from the word go. And we have a lot of that vaccine in the country. We have 23 million doses of vaccine in the country at the moment, so we are not procuring. But once we get to the point of procuring again, we will be able to go on open bidding. Now, that is a potentially fraught process, which we will follow in due course, because some manufacturers have indicated they're not interested in participating in open tenders, and that may then make it that a very useful vaccine that we need in South Africa may not be accessible to us. So we will navigate this terrain carefully, but we are able to do so at the moment. So thank you very much, Chair. That is the slides responding to the questions that were asked. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. My apology, my connectivity is unstable, so I've been on and off, but I've just managed to come back as Dr. Crisp is concluding the presentation. So that's the long and short of our response to the matters relating to the undertakings made by the Excellency, the President, to the National Council of Provinces in March last year. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
No, thank you, Minister. Thank you for that presentation. And I think you have went together with your staff point by point of the undertaking made by the Deputy President. We appreciate the presentation, and I now wish to put it to the members if they have maybe questions of clarity or comments which they wish to make, and then we will afford you an opportunity to answer those questions and perhaps give a brief responses to the comments made. Members, any takers and hands? It seems that we do not have a single hand. That tells the minister that you have really not only went to town, but you went to the hinterland, including the rural areas of our community. In responding to this question, you have dealt with all the matters through a fine point. And in that respect, I think the old saying, which says silence means consent, there is a principle of contentment on our side. And so it means we are truly covered with what you have presented to us. And that being the only item we had today, I must then say thank you to you, Minister, and thank you to your officials of the department for the work well done. But please do continue, because I think what you have presented to us is the work that is also work in progress. Continue, there's still room for improvement on each and every day. We mustn't drop the ball, not even once. We must raise the bar at all material times and ensure that we close ranks on this, and until a point where we finally defeat the current enemy, which is the COVID virus that has attacked society from all fronts. Members, I also wish to express my deep felt gratitude to you. You know, leadership is not only about the courage to sit down and listen or stand up and speak. But sometimes when you apply your minds and listen and pay attention to detail, you are beginning to answer the critical question in a way wherein you are going to sift this that has been given to us and ensure that we translate it into the improvement of our systems in government. And therefore, Minister, thank you so much, and we wish you all the best as you deal with all the challenges in our country. And you know that you have support in us as the legislature. We are behind you. But at the same time, you must accept our constructive criticism. It is meant to strengthen your work. It is not meant to defocus you. It is meant to ensure that this meeting is now formally adjourned. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair.